This is Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
Joining us in the studio this lunchtime is Toby Brown. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Good. I mean, you are a jack of all trades.
Yeah, I do have my finger in a lot of pies, yeah.
You are the perfect person to interview because I don't have to do any research whatsoever because we're just going to bounce from one subject to another. What are you most known for at the moment?
I think at the moment it would be Ballyrags, the comedy club. I've hosted that now since April last year. It was set up with Luke and myself. And I do that monthly in a few venues, and I think that's the thing I've become most known for now. It, which is nice because people used to just shout "Hi, Fever Photographer" at me, which was probably the other one after shooting there as a photographer for a few years.
So come on, comedy! I love, and I think there is such an art to being on stage, just a microphone and an audience, and keeping that audience with you. There's a trick to that. But who's the biggest inspiration, first of all?
Well, just on that point, we had a comedian down recently called Adam Bloom, who has written a book on comedy, and he says that comedy is the last creative meritocracy, because you can be a not very good band and with the right marketing smash it, but if you're not a very good comedian, you're just not going to rise. So it's one of those that you have to be good at, and I'm not saying I am, but it is an art form, and watching some of the great talent we've had come down has been amazing. We've been very, very fortunate, but Frank Skinner, I think, was a bit of an inspiration for me from a young age. I read his autobiography, and it just had me howling at points out loud, and I liked making people laugh, and seeing how he went about it was probably the wrong way, but he's got some big shoes to fill and a hard act to follow, but he was an inspiration.
I mean, there's so many in my mind that have just popped into my head now, but the one thing that I look at and see how society has changed and how views have changed, that you can't say this, you can't say that. So how does that work for a comedian when you go out on stage and you know that there might be a few people in the audience that frown upon certain things that you're going to say?
Well, I think it's twofold, actually. One, obviously, I say this at the beginning of every show, you are in a comedy club. This isn't necessarily what this person thinks or feels. He's saying it to elicit an emotion in you, which is to make you laugh about something that might be a touchy subject. But I think comedy's having a bit of a revival. If you look at back in the 80s, when times weren't so great, and comedy was a lot more edgy, you had your Richard Pryors and your George Carlins and your people like this who were very anti-society and anti-city rules and city government. And comedy, for me, with the rise of the "you can't say this" crowd, has got very sanitised. And I think the peak of that has been the rise of things like Mrs. Brown's Boys, which are just, for me, the most unfunny shows known to man. And I think there's a real edginess to comedy now that's breaking through against all of that. And you're seeing a lot more people who are like, no, actually, we can say this. It's like, this is, if you repress your right to say stuff, emotion's going to come out in bad ways. It's like the British people were formed on being able to take the mick out of stuff. It's our way of dealing with things. And I really do think there is a regrowth of that. And we're seeing that with Ballyrags. There's more and more people coming along now just to be like, do you know what? Yeah, that is a bit rubbish. Let's have a laugh about it.
What do you get from the fact that, I'm guessing I know the answer to this question, but you're going to answer it. What do you get from when you know somebody that is not ever going to be given a chance to do something, but you're giving them a chance to come up and at least give it a go?
Yeah, it's beautiful to see the evolution of some of the people that we've had through the School of Comedy who have got up on stage to begin with for just 5 minutes and done okay, you know, for first times, to now see them doing tour dates or gig dates across the south of the UK and entering things like UK Hampshire Comedian of the Year and getting to the semi-finals. And it's really nice to watch that development and be able to be a platform for that. I think we've debuted 5, 6, 7, maybe more island comedians on our stage at various points, and we've got even more coming through now, and some of them are actually really, really good too. So yeah, it's a real good Luke and I both love that about Ballyrags, is being able to platform people who otherwise might not get off the island and do it. There isn't much opportunity elsewhere.
How fantastic is that? Just give us an idea roughly what sort of age groups you got coming down.
To the School of Comedy, all sorts. Funnily enough, it seems to be more older people at the moment in terms of sort of, you know, 35 plus, I would say, rather than the younger lot. Although the younger people, I think to be a good comedian, you have to have a certain amount of cynicism, and I don't think you have that so much when you're young. But then again, that's my personal preference.
Wow. Do you know what? You mentioned George Carlin, and last night we were doing a bit of we were watching a bit of Eddie Izzard, who's hilarious, and so clever. He was talking about the time when he went to France and he just did the whole thing in French, and it was just, it was so, so clever. But then we watched a thing called by George Carlin, and sadly he's no longer with us. But I think it's probably the most famous clip. It's a 3-minute thing telling you why, you know, in America you're receiving something from behind, and it was just. The whole shebang, the whole thing. And I thought, how clever is that? And my wife had never seen it before. And I said to her, I said at the end, I said, bearing in mind that that is X amount of years old, does it ring any bells?
Yeah.
The whole thing that he was talking about, the way life is for certain people. And, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed at all. But he was so, so funny.
He was ahead of the game. And another one for me was Bill Hicks, because he was talking about a positive story, which you don't often hear on the news. And at one point he said, you know, what about if we all just chill out, realize that all life is a frequency, we're all just consciousness experiencing itself, and all of these things, and life being a frequency, and all the some of the stuff he was talking about has only recently been discovered in terms of quantum physics. So it's like these guys were, like, for me, in a lot of senses, the philosophers of their day. They're able to, and that's the beauty of comedy. You look at something, especially with the way the news is nowadays, it's so negative and designed to give you negative emotion. And comedy allows you to look at something and then go, oh yeah, and it makes you think about things a little bit differently. And I think that's its beautiful power, because it can make you see a humor in an otherwise unjust situation or something, like something that's bad that's happened to you. And that can help both you look at it, hang on, well, yeah, snap out of the matrix for a minute, but also help you to deal with stuff that is not necessarily easy to deal with.
Now, I know that you're a big part of Three Rivers, and I know that we could talk about that, and we still can, but I'm conscious of the fact that Dan is coming in to talk about it on Tuesday, so we don't want to ruin it for him.
No, let Dan spoil all the surprises they got coming up. There's some really good stuff happening with Three Rivers.
Okay, so, I got from our conversation before that you worked in Chelsea, for Chelsea?
Back in a previous life. When I lived up in London, I've always been a Chelsea supporter. It's kind of a family team thing, and that growing up on the Isle of Wight, back when we were rubbish, that wasn't a great team to support. But when I moved up to the mainland, I started going to see them, and I got involved setting up a Chelsea supporter site, and that was kind of at the forefront of when forums, before social media, forums were the biggest sort of thing of the internet, and we ran this really big Chelsea supporters forum. And I ended up getting involved with the club and on their official supporters forums. I got to meet with the board and used to go to various launches. I used to be on Chelsea TV and Sky and BBC, and back when Satanta Sports was around. Do you remember them?
They
bankrupted a few clubs. So I used to do all that. And it was back in the day of being a bit of a media personality in that sense. It was good days. Got to meet a load of my heroes, got to live out a few dreams of mine, and very fun times.
Chelsea heroes, come on.
Growing up, it was people like Kerry Dixon, was kind of about my age,
and then
Franco Zola was kind of my next big one, then Frankie Lampard, and I've been lucky enough to meet all of them. Kerry Dixon actually became a bit of a friend, got him down to my uncle's 50th. I interviewed Frank Lampard, I interviewed John Terry, Claude Makélélé, a lot of the ex-players, Chopper Harris, Peter Bonetti, got to meet them. I met Ozzy a few times before he sadly passed away as well. So yeah, I got to go up there as a wet behind the ear boy from the Isle of Wight and meet all my heroes. It was an unreal few years.
So you must be fairly happy this morning, or this lunchtime.
Yeah, it was a good match last night. I stayed up, it was 8 p.m. I'm not
I mean, what a bargain that was for João Pedro.
They were after that first goal, I was like, yeah, I like this, but the second one was just as cheeky, and I think it's what we've been missing. I love Jackson, but he doesn't seem to just link the play as well as Pedro just did straight away, and we saw traces of that in the last game as well.
All right. Being a Chelsea fan, then, I mean, I know this is like we're digressing from lots of things, but being a Chelsea fan, do you get frustrated when they go, like, you have, who was the guy? He scored the quickest goal in a cup final.
Roberto Di Matteo.
And he later became the manager. Yeah. They won the European Cup, and then 3 months later, they wicked him out.
Yeah, it was weird, the difference in dynamics between the Abramovich sort of regime and the American regime we've got now, in the way that, and I've worked in Russia, so I totally get it. It's like, no fail, delete, start again, you know. And they just don't get, whereas in America, it's like, just throw money at it. And they couldn't be more contrasting styles. But with Roman, it's like, no, you fail, see you later, let's try another direction. And it worked, you know, the number of trophies.
Yeah.
And I think, I say this, don't let my Twitter following hear me, but I'm starting to come round to this new lot, and they might not have been a bit as rubbish as I kind of originally thought, because stuff seems to be coming together quite well, and it's a bit like one of those all right, you might have been right. Have you ever seen that baseball film Moneyball?
No.
Brad Pitt. It's based on a true story that they were this lower league baseball team, and they lost two or three of their best players, and they statistically analyzed it to see, well, we didn't lose this, we lost this number of runs, this number of catches, replaced them with a few other players, and built a team of stats, and actually went on to get to the finals. And it's weird, they seem to be building a statistical thing, but it seems to be working. And I wouldn't say that to my Chelsea supporting followers yet, but I'm like, this is all right then, boys. You might know something here.
Yeah, I must admit that they finished the season and continued with this brilliantly well. And it's like, I look at it and I think, if I was a Chelsea fan, I'd be worried that they don't win the cup, they don't win the game on Sunday, and they don't do very well next season. All of that's for nothing, and all of a sudden they're back to square one.
Yeah, I
but
know.
I can't see it. I think they've got a good squad now.
I think this is the thing. It's almost like they're building a chess set rather than a team. So, like, for any given situation, it's like, oh, plug in something that can go. It's like becoming a component team, a bit like they do in the NFL. You know, you have certain players on the pitch for certain plays. And I think that's kind of the way it's going a little bit more. And it's interesting to watch however it works out. It's going to certainly be an interesting evolution given how young the team is and how that's going to grow together.
Now, is there anything on your list of stuff that you really want to plug?
There's so much going on down here that's good.
I know there's something I can't talk to you about.
Yeah,
because you're going to do that at some point in the near future.
Yeah, I'll be talking to you about that soon. But no, I mean, just if I could plug anything, it'd plug all of you guys out there who are listening, and all of the artists on the island out there at the minute who are continuing to doing what they do, and just making this place such a great place for comedy, for music, for arts, for entertainment, for everything. You don't realise how much of a goldmine it is down here, and how lucky you all are. So, I mean, anyone who's part of it, big kudos to you, and anyone who's listening, you know, get out there and support it.
Yeah, and which brings us on. I mean, we were having a conversation out there, and it's always been the way here on the island when people say, I've got to go all the way to freshwater, I've got to go all the way to Ryde. And I know that, you know, I was saying that when I was younger, I'd any excuse to get in the car and drive. And now it's no fun.
Yeah.
So that is, I mean, you're up against that. How do we get around that? How do we encourage people to have your gigs at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, this is, when the roads are nice and clear and people like a drive. I mean, this is one of the tricky bits we found with Ballyrags. You know, we built a good following in Ryde, started a night in Newport, and no one from our Ryde lot came. And that's probably one of the shortest little commutes on the island. So, I don't know, people need to just get out a bit more, to be honest. I drove to Portugal and back last year, and the distance felt like not much, but I do, as we were saying before the show, the number of just sheer frustrations in driving anywhere to anywhere on the island at the moment, with road closures, with, you know, this happening, or idiot drivers, or another car on its roof, or, you know, it's just an absolute, it's not fun to drive here anymore, which is a shame, because we've got some of the most beautiful roads and beautiful picturesque drives around, you know, that I've, like I said, driven across Europe, but the military road and the middle road and points that just like match it, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, I learned to drive in the 1980s, and I would have given anything. You want me to go to Ventnor? What, now? Yeah, no problem. Jump in, let's go. But now I'd think, oh, crikey, give me a couple of weeks. I'll have to build up to that now.
Yeah.
It's such a nightmare out there. So you can kind of understand it, but There must be a way that we can counteract that. There must be something.
I don't. I mean, we did a gig out at the Needles, and he kind of wanted to work with like Southern Vectis or someone and put on like a bally bus. So if we did a big comedy gig somewhere like that, we'd start a bus at Newport and have like maybe the opening act, like a magician on the bus with the punters that brought everyone to the gig, where we could have the second set at the venue and do something like that. And I think those sort of things may help. It's budgetary is obviously a problem, but yeah, it's the great how do, isn't it? I think people down here have been asking that question for millennia. How do we get someone to go to Freshwater on a Wednesday?
It's, I mean, to me it's only got worse in the last sort of 10-15 years because of the amount of cars on the road. I mean, that idiot that decided to take away the train all those years ago has really you know, has messed us up quite a massive amount.
Yeah,
it'd be a shame we haven't got a train to go from Cowes to Newport to ride and beyond. I mean, that would be so good, but we haven't. So it's thinking outside of the box with those kind of ideas. Let's get on a coach, and on the coach is going to be someone that will entertain you and so on. I mean, there's something in that. There really is.
I think we should just build a monorail on the old railways, to be honest. I love a monorail on the island. It would give us something different. Or just extend the chairlift to the mainland. That was something someone came up with at one of our comedy gigs recently. I think that could work, yeah. Maybe a bit windy, but...
Does it surprise you when you see so many people that are not, like, you know, never done it before, step out on a stage, own it, and come up with some material that you've probably never even thought about?
Yeah, and that's one of the beautiful things about it, is the sometimes the evolution of the joke. It's they'll come up with something, and then that will be funny, but then they'll add sort of a beat or a little joke in front of it, or then there might be a little topper that comes on after it. And you try different things. I mean, I've got a few that I kind of sometimes reuse at different shows that I tell different each time, and you can see sometimes which way it hits. Depending on where the word, the arrangement of the words and stuff. So yeah, it's nice to see people go out there, and the first time is always the scariest. I did my first stand up, my first comedic routine in December last year. I don't think I've gone on TV in front of millions of people. I don't think I've ever been as scared as I was at that point then, because it's fine going on like talking about football, or like we are now, or talking about music. But to go up into a crowd of people, in front of a crowd of people, and expect to make them laugh, it's petrifying.
Yeah,
but once you've done that first one, once you're up there, it flies like that, and you come off, and in most cases, I very rarely see anyone bomb. The feeling of elation is just unreal.
What do you tell people if they're like struggling to breathe, struggling to, you know, they're shaking and so on? What advice do you give those people?
Well, we've had a lot of people, we obviously work, Luke does especially, on the lead up to it about their acts and what to do. And the act starts the moment you're announced, or actually even when you enter the building, you know, it's not when you first start talking. So it's very much be purposeful, get to the stage, know whether you're going to use the mic stand, take the mic out and move the mic stand, or just, you know, use another prop and take a deep breath, look at someone in the eye, or don't if you can't, and then just start and just follow your own routine, flow with it, because it's over before you know it. You get up there, and that's the key thing, is just take your time. Don't be afraid of silence, don't be afraid of pauses. And if they are new, I, as the host of the show, I make sure I really G the crowd up. They come on to a really big round of applause, which in any sense gives you sort of an emotive boost anyway, so you're like, wow, this is good, you know, I'm all right, they want me to be here. So that we've got a really friendly and really supportive crowd as well, and I think that really helps. So yeah, it is a pleasure. We haven't had anyone bomb, touch wood, I don't think we will.
No, all right. But so if listening at home thinking, I really want a bit of that, how?
Do it.
How do we, where do we go, what days?
The best way to do it is to go to the Ballyrags website, ballyrags.com. On there at the top there's something that says learn comedy, and you can just read through what we do and then send an inquiry through, and that'll go through to Luke, and then he can tell you where we're going to be training that week and go from there, really.
Okay, you've mentioned Luke a few times.
Yeah.
Just outline who Luke is.
Luke Valvona, he's the guy I run Ballyrags with, probably most known to people here as Baron Fortitude. So he's sort of my comedic partner. He's the guy who runs the School of Comedy and does the most of the sort of development sort of with the students and stuff.
Well, congratulations on that, because I think it's a massive success. And I know a few people that have been on it, and I think that they're feeling the benefit now, which is great. And I say there's other projects that you're going to be working on that you can't tell, and I'm not allowed to ask you now.
Not just yet.
Hopefully you'll come back and we'll talk about that in the near future.
Yeah,
hey, look,
sure we
could have talked for hours.
Yeah. I mean, even just out there before, we nearly missed the start of the show, didn't we?
We were about 40 seconds away from our point. But yeah. Brilliant. Thank you, Toby.
It's been a pleasure, mate. Absolute pleasure.
See you soon. We will. Guaranteed.